Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved across upon the face of the waters. As always, I ask for a blessing upon the Word of God today.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Outstanding. And I normally feel like I always need to say the Word of God for the people of God. Verse 2, yeah, which is an amazing verse. Not only did we discuss the creation of the universe, but I want you to notice something for a second. Seems a little loud. Am I crazy? No? Okay. I want you to notice the condition of the earth. Out of all the planets, out of all the solar systems, out of all the stars, and of all the things that God created in the heavens above, he narrowed his focus to one clump of matter. To the earth. Not Jupiter, not Mars, not the moon, not the sun. God fixed his focus upon the earth. Because it wouldn't be upon that earth he created man. It would be upon that earth that he cast down Satan. It would be upon that earth that God would send his only son to be crucified on this planet. It would be on that earth he would send his son out to come back and redeem us. God's thinking about this planet, no other planet, where he would carry out his master plan for redemption. We understand four things when we look at this one verse. Number one, it was deformed. I know it doesn't say deformed, but look at the verse. The planet originally was created, it was formless, just a mass of material, just a blob of matter. The Hebrew root for formless is without shape. It's used in Deuteronomy 34 as a wasteland. It's used in Isaiah 41 for an empty space. It's used in Isaiah 59 for a confused place, a place with no order at all. It's just jumbled. It's uninhabited, unproductive, without shape, without life. It's deformed. It's in need of being formed. It's formless. The idea that it's unfinished. It's just raw materials, rough around the edges. It's undeveloped, unorganized, unshaped, indistinctive. Yet all the matter, all the material that he would need to create is right here. At this point, it's like an artist with a pound of clay. It's just formless. It's nothing to it. I don't even think that gives it justice to what the unshape of it would have been. He's ready to put it on the potter's wheel. It's just a flat board. It's just raw dirt. It's just clay. When we look at the three verses that are following, he's going to be put it into shape. He's going to mold it. It's like the potter's wheel. He's going to put it together in six consecutive days. This beautiful piece of pottery that we live on, this perfectly reflects him and will reflect his beauty and his glory. What's that thing where the artist put the little paint on? You see him in all the fancy cartoons back when we were a kid. Excuse me, apparently my phone's on. The little thing with the little daubs of paint, I know it's called something. Palette, that's it. So he's got the little paint on his palette. And he's fixing to put his masterpiece together on his canvas, his blank canvas. God's going to put his blobs of paint together. He's going to create his masterpiece so awesome and so beautiful and so stunning. Nothing that we can make can compare to that. Just look around. Next time you're asleep and you wake up and you look outside, especially right after rain, see how vivid the colors are. It's amazing. Now, all this didn't evolve by chance. There's a master divine artist at play here. He's putting everything together for his purpose. In this verse 2, now understand we're not in verse 3 yet. Light hasn't even been invented yet. It's just clay, globs of paint. It's deformed and needs a forming. Now the second thing I want you to notice, it's desolate. It says it's void. The word void, it means void. There's no life. It's barren. It's stark. It's empty. It's uninhabitable. Nobody's there. Third, it's dark. It says it right there. It says, darkness was over the surface of the deep. As I pointed out, God hasn't even created light yet. He hasn't even made plants yet. That happens in verse 9 and 10. Right now, the earth is completely darkness. It's engulfed in darkness. There's no light, therefore there's no life. Incapable of hosting anything. Pitch black. And then the final thing I want you to notice here, it was drowned. It says darkness was over the surface of the deep. Deep. That means waters. You see at the end, verse 2, there's something called parallelism. The deep is referring to waters in verse 2. It's Hebrew poetry, Hebrew parallelism. The entire planet was submerged underwater. So when we get to Genesis chapter 6, we understand the floods is easy because the water is already there. The earth was created underwater. I didn't say it. It's right in front of you, black and white. On the top, it's completely covered with water. Covered with dark, a tiny planet, completely dark, submerged underwater. A blank canvas that God's going to work. A place to create his masterpiece. God would create earth with life upon it. And he's got all the raw materials right in his place. We see in the end of verse 2, the Spirit. God immediately has his presence in shaping and forming the earth. We read the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. God was not distant. He was present. We know he's all-knowing and all-present and is capable of being everywhere. But God is on site. God is walking on the land. He is directing. There's the Holy Spirit descended. Comes down not to the sun, not to the moon to observe. He's moving over this lifeless, formless thing under the water. Moving the waters the way he wants it. It would be unlike any other planet. Unlike anything in the entire solar system. I almost chuckle when I hear, oh, we found a planet that almost resembles Earth. Shut up with that nonsense. This would be the epicenter of his activity in such a specific and even redeeming way. It would be upon this planet he would showcase his glory. The Spirit of God is moving. The Spirit here is the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all actively involved in creation. The Spirit of God was moving, actively moving. He wasn't standing still. He was hovering over the earth. In Deuteronomy 32, the word for moving is the same for like an eagle hovering over his nest, waiting for his eggs to be born. The Holy Spirit is brooding over his creation that's fixing to be born. The same word is used in Jeremiah 23 of prophets, bone-shaking, moving, and vibrating as the Holy Spirit enters into them and guides them. His all-presence, all-powerful. There's movement here. He's overseeing, he's supervising, he's hovering, he's moving over the earth. It's going to be his masterpiece. He's going to bring order out of chaos. He's ready to bring beauty out of barrenness, to bring form and fertility, and he's going to bring design out of darkness, as only God can. God, the Holy Spirit, being the administrator and his executor of this plan, he's hovering over the face of the waters. The earth, a vast ocean, a global sea beneath the waters, a mass of material. Lifeless. He did this in 6 consecutive days, not millions of years. He said it and it was done. He did it one time. It wasn't a mistake and he started over. He knew exactly what he was doing. Now there's 3 things I want you to understand before I get out of here. Number 1. This creator God was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Verse 1, John 1, verse 1, sounds exactly like Genesis 1, verse 1. not by accident. In the beginning, sounds familiar, last week, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I'm just dropping down to verse 3 of John. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. All things came into being through him and through his word. Capital W. We understand the word became flesh and dwelt with men. Jesus Christ, the word, the spoken word of God. The creator God who is present in creation. This creator would come to his own planet. All things came into being through him. He was the mighty God in Genesis who said, "Let there be light." And there was light. He was the mighty God who separated the waters and raised the dirt and established the coastline and raised the mountains and lowered the depths of the oceans, put the rivers into place. Jesus Christ. Colossians 1, verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him. After Jesus is identified as the image of the visible God, the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, we understand that all things were created, both in the heavens and the earth. All things have been created through him and for him. Not for ourselves. We were not created for ourselves. We were created for God. We need, and I'm not going to say, when I say we, all of us together, maybe not even all of us, we need to elevate our thoughts of Jesus Christ. We try to look at him as our level, and we don't understand. He was present when all this that we see was created. So we need to elevate our thoughts of Christ. We see him as the meek Messiah, the humble carpenter of Galilee, which he was. But we need to understand he's part of the stunning truth of the incarnation that never did anyone so high humble himself to become so low, the Son of God. He, God, the creator God, the eternal God, the Son of God, everything that was made, he created. Jesus, right here. Verse 1 and 2 of the Bible. With the Spirit, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, at creation, coming together and creating everything that we see. The second thing we need to know is look specifically in verse 2. Now, I hope I blow your minds away. Maybe not. This pictures your life. Your life when you were created out of your mother's womb. When I say you, I mean me. You too were born of darkness. Spiritual darkness as well. In ignorance of God. You were born empty and void without God in your life. You were born desolate without any spiritual life in you. This is how we entered the world. Uninhabited by God. The same way the planet was formed. You were drowning in your sin, and your life was barren, a wasteland. Just like we read in verse 2, a desolate wasteland. And the final thing I got to say here is, this is why we became a new creation. This is why we see God doing here in Genesis 1 is almost a microcosm of our new birth. Because God didn't leave us a barren wasteland. He began to hover over our soul, and he hovered over our empty life. And God, the Holy Spirit, came into our life, convicted us, and called us, and drew us, and made us a new creation in Christ. Just like at the creation. But a far greater we are than the creation of the earth. Creating the earth and the universe was nothing. creating us, making us a new creation, cost God everything. It cost him the death of his son, so we could sit here, so we could do this. He spoke the universe into existence. He said, let there be light, and there was light. That was nothing for him. That cost him nothing. He just spoke it into existence. There it is. But for us to have fellowship with God, it cost him his son, his only son. He had to send his son into the world, all the way down to this world, for our barrenness and our emptiness and the darkness of our soul. And according to his purpose and his plan, God said to us one day, let there be light. And at that moment, the light of illumination, the light of truth came into our heads, those of us that are Christians, came beaming down from the throne of God by the Holy Spirit, and it lit up our soul. It made us a new creature, a new creation through Christ Jesus. And in some ways, Genesis 1 is a dress rehearsal for our own conversion. Because it followed down the same track as the same creator working with a raw piece of dirt. And that's all we are. We're broken pieces of clay, unformed dirt. And on the sixth day, God comes and creates Adam. How does he create Adam? Kind of rhetorical, we all know. But think about it for a second. He didn't say, let there be man. He could have said, let's make man. Whoop, there's man. Snap my fingers. Speak man into existence. He didn't. God gathered up dirt. He shaped it into a human body. And he breathed his life into it. From dirt. When I was 16 years old, God said to me, let there be light. And he breathed his eternal life into my dead, spiritually dead body. Has he done this for you guys? Has he done this for you? We can't birth ourselves into the kingdom. We need God the Holy Spirit to guide us to God the Son, which will guide us to the Father. Any more than the sun and the moon and the planets could accidentally create themselves in outer space. It requires a divine intervention. It requires Elohim, the omnipotent one, the creating God, creating life where there is no life. If you never believed in Jesus Christ before, you don't know what I'm talking about. You're just listening to me talk. But it's the truth of the Word of God. It didn't come from me. None of this is my words, it's God's words. I can show you how simple two little verses could be. How simple the Bible is, looking at two little verses. And this is nothing. You put something together, you're normally like, oh, I gotta push this back together. This is getting too long. Nothing. I'll tell you the same thing that somebody told me one time that set me on this path. I challenge you to take a professional Bible course. Then you understand. But I urge you for this moment, before we sing our closing song, that just in your hearts, just think. A little solitude, a little quiet. And it's a very simple task. Just tell God you're a sinner. You believe in Jesus Christ. Take a step of faith and commit to your life. Commit your life to Christ. Repent of your sins. And you're going to find a welcoming Savior. You're going to find a welcoming Savior who's going to take you and just hug you, and your life's going to be completely and totally changed. Just by this one event, it's going to change your life forever. Now, something a lot of pastors don't say, but I'll tell you, I repent every day. It ain't like, oh, I'm repenting, I'm good, yeah. No, every single day, it's a never-ending process. Until the day you live, to the day God calls you up to glory, you're going to be repenting of your sins. The closer you get to God, the more you're going to see the sins in your own lives. You're going to be perfect? Nope. You're going to strive for perfection, and you're never going to achieve it. You have to know this getting into this. Christ is the only perfect being. He did it. We cannot. But we have to try every single day. Try to bring somebody along with us. So let's pray. Father in heaven, Father, I know you're overwhelming us with Genesis 1, verse 1 and verse 2. We understand the magnitude of what you've done for us, Father. Creation was nothing. What you sent your Son to do on that cross was everything for us, Father. We work our 1,000 lifetimes. We can never understand that act that he did for us. He gave us communion with you, Father, again, through the shedding of his blood. Father, when we leave out of here, let us dig deep in our hearts and understand what that commitment made. It brought us together, Father. Father, thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for putting us back in a perfect plan of redemption, Father. And I say all this in your Son's name. Amen.